Absolutely, you can for sure, and especially in this market, as the playoffs now seem like the hope of making it was a distant memory, and now everyone's kind of looking towards, can they get Jack Hughes?
So
it's good for chatter.
Well, you know what? I saw you throw out a couple of proposals over the past few days when it comes to acquiring Jack Hughes, or the first pick, I would say. Now, it's kind of half-baked because we don't know where the Canucks are picking, but what do you think it would take? What type of deal would it take for somebody to pry the first overall pick away from whatever team's selecting, potentially Jack Hughes?
Yeah, so I think the first thing that you'd have to look at is where the first rounder is coming from that you're going to swap to that number one team, because it can't be too far down the board. It's got to be three, maybe four, fourth overall sort of thing. And then maybe you can convince a team to slide back if you can hand them just a bevy of assets and then say, hey, listen, you're not going to get Jack Hughes, but if you're picking three or four, you get your first crack at the rest of those talented centers that are littered through the top 10. For my money, it would cost a lot. It would cost, fourth overall pick, a 2020 or a 21 first rounder, plus, maybe a handful of second rounders and a prospect or something like that. So it wouldn't be cheap. And I threw out that Bo Horvat and the 2019 first just as a gauge to see what people would think. And I feel that Jack Hughes has been underrated a little bit this year. He's been a top prospect for so long, so they can tend to get nitpicked a little bit, that level of player. And additionally, I think a lot of people only saw him at the World Junior Championships as a 17-year-old who was battling an injury, and regardless of that, he was still very good despite those circumstances. But I feel like he's getting devalued a little bit here. And, at the same age, the only forwards that I would absolutely take ahead of him in the last decade, Matthews, McDavid, Eichel, and Stamkos. I could hear an argument for Nate MacKinnon or Patrick Laine, but realistically, it would just be that. It would be an argument. So Jack Hughes is a very high-end asset and one that wouldn't come cheaply.
Well, when it comes to that asset being devalued one way or another, is it because it's hard to project players coming out of the program he's in? So when you look at the numbers and you project it, it doesn't look quite as impressive? Or do you just think that it's one of those things that we saw before, prospect fatigue, because he's been around for over a year now, we've all assumed he'll be the first overall pick? Do you think it's more fatigue, or are people over analyzing the numbers in his program?
Yeah, I think it lands in kind of a whole bunch of different areas there. And so you're right, the over fatigue, the over scouting of a player, the fact that he was already up with the U18s last year and was just absolutely dominant as a 16-year-old, putting up nearly 2 points a game, setting records. And so everybody and their dog, myself included, hoped that he was able to get his high school courses finished early, and he could have gone to Michigan and hung out with Brother Quinn this year, and we could have saw him up a level, despite, the program plays against NCAA competition a great deal this year, and Hughes has done very, very well against them. The injury, and then it's just, he's a smaller player, and people get a little scared with that, especially for a center iceman. And we haven't ever seen, I don't believe, a player step right out of the U18 with the program and into the NHL. So there's a lot of question marks. Is he physically ready? We haven't seen a player do this before. He's got a little bit of a later birthday, being born in May, versus, a guy like Patrick Kane, who played his U18 season and then went to London for a year before going to the NHL. So there's just kind of a little bit of a cloud of uncertainty, I guess, around how good is he going to be at the next level. And for my money, it's going to be very good.
Cam, earlier this week on Twitter, you wrote about putting on your Nostradamus hat and foreseeing the Canucks selecting Matt Boldy with their 2019 first-round pick if they do fall between 7 or 9 in this year's draft. What do you like about Boldy and how he fits with the current Canucks core players right now?
Yeah, for sure. So I think there's a fairly glaring hole on the team's back end on the right side, which we all know about. They grabbed Jet Wu in the second round last year, and that helped kind of patch it up a little bit and make it look reasonable. But the next spot is on the wings, and especially on the left side. So in the NHL, you got Nikolai Goldobin, you got Josh Leivo now. These are guys that are, borderline top six guys, probably more likely, a third line on a quality team. They don't have any high impact wingers coming, especially now that Dolan's gone. And he might not have been a high impact guy either, but he at least had a shot at it. But when you're looking at Matt Boldy, you're seeing a guy who's a pretty decent size, 6'1". He's filling out. He's, going to be pushing 200 plus pounds when he's in his early 20s. Just a silky player. Really, really nice puck skills, has patience, poise, loves to use his teammates, so he's got that great vision and the soft hands. I really like his puck skills, and to be honest with you, I think he has an underrated shot that I'd encourage him to use a little bit more, and I hope he does as he moves up a level here. So he's going to Boston College next year. Boston College has struggled through a bit of a tough season this year, but they're going to get a whole lot of help next year. They're getting Boldy, Alex Newhook, and Spencer Knight, the top goaltending prospect in this draft, to join Oliver Wahlstrom there at Boston College. So that should be a fun situation for him, and he could be one of these kids kids that's one and done and, you know, looking at stepping in the NHL for 2020-21.
I don't disagree the need for scoring wingers for the Vancouver Canucks, but when it comes down to positional importance at the draft, when you're between 7 or 9, there could be a defenseman available, there could be a few more centers available. Is Boldy so special for you that you're willing to overlook, you know, drafting a center, drafting a defenseman at that point?
It depends on which one's sitting there. So you're absolutely right, and there is a ton of centers in this group. So, you know, if Dylan Cozen's sitting there at 7 and the Canucks are picking it, that's a hard player to pass on. If Bowen Byram's sitting there, who's just been on a bender right now, he's leading all CHL under-19 defenders and the kid's 17 in scoring this season, you know, you probably don't pass on Byram. But if those guys are already taken, as I project they will, and you're looking at maybe Trevor Zegras or Matt Boldy or Peyton Krebs, you know, I think Zegras and Krebs are, you know, there's a good chance that they're going to be wingers at the next level too, and they don't have the size, and maybe they don't have as elite puck skills as this guy. Well, Zegras probably does, but I think Boldy's right in that mix, and I think his size complements what the Canucks are looking for in the top six and his skill set. So when I put on the Nostradamus hat there, that was me kind of projecting who I think Vancouver will land on, not necessarily who I would pick in that situation, but we have a long way to go. We have to see where they're picking and who's coming off the board, because right now that top 10 is an absolute blend after pick 2.
Yeah, no, that's exactly it. We're talking to Cam Robinson, Hockey Robinson on Twitter, covering Canucks prospects and NHL draft eligible ones for Dauber's Hockey. Now, when we look at the second defenseman in this year's draft behind Bowen Byram, who do you have as the second best defenseman, and how wide is that gap between that player and Bowen Byram?
Yeah, so it's Victor Soderstrom for me. We talked about him last week there. He's a really nice puck-moving guy, fast-paced blue liner who does have the ability to, similar to Boldy, he's got that patience, that poise where he can dictate the pace of play. I'm really loving what he's doing in the SHL right now. He's using his speed. He's using his quick edges. He's, you know, pulling some spinoramas, flying up the wing, leading the rush at times, which is impressive for a guy who just turned 18. He's playing in the top league in Sweden. Mm-hmm. So he's dangerous on the power play. He's a right-shot player, like we were talking about, is a big hole for the Canucks depth chart. And he's one of these guys that, you know, he's playing professional hockey, and there's a chance that he could cross over and push for an NHL spot next year. Now, often kids playing in Sweden, their season starts early. We saw with Elias Pettersson, his draft plus 1 year, he didn't even come over for camp, and that's fair, you know. If they don't think he's going to make the team, you just leave him over there and let him play his SHL season. But, you know, if he doesn't come over for next year to even try out, then I think he's a really legit shot to make the team the following year as a D plus 2. The next kid that I've got climbing up the board, though, is Ville Heinola. So a Finnish kid, left shot player, but really mobile, really smooth, really calm. One of these guys that you can just project to be, you know, a Chris Tanev, like when he was in his prime with more offense sort of thing. Just, you know, I think it was BX who coined that. You know, he's out there skating with a cigarette in his mouth. He doesn't even care. It's just everything is kind of even keel with Heinola. So those are the next two guys on my list.
And you know, that's going to be the real interesting thing about the Canucks, depending on where they end up picking. Of course, they have their sights maybe set on trying to get that first overall pick. But, you know, one of the guys that I've been really intrigued by is Alex Turcotte. And different people I talk to have a different sense of the type of player he is. How do you view Alex Turcotte?
I'm a big Alex Turcotte fan, and so I'll give you a little sneak peek. He's sitting number 3 on my board right now, so he's kind of pushed Vasily Podkolzin back a spot. He's just an across-the-board talent, really, really smart, very smart player, efficient, great offensive instincts. He's a really nice skater, quick acceleration. And he's already the most complete two-way player in the crop. So he's a coach's dream, you know, a teammate's dream. The fans will love to root for him. And he has underrated puck skills. So you can see when you watch him at the program, he's just dominating too. So an injury stole the first couple months of his season, and that dropped him on a whole bunch of boards. So, you know, we're looking in November, December, and he's sitting in the 20s on some people's boards. And I think it's either they forgot how good he was because he hadn't played for a few months, or I'm not sure what happened there. But, you know, he's going to be littering top 10s. And for my money, he's a top 5 asset and probably the second best center on the board.
I'm glad you brought up Podkolzin and him sliding. Not that I like the fact that he's sliding. I'm enamored with his prospect. He's really fun to watch. But his production, especially at the level he's playing, doesn't match the eye test with his skill level. Is that a concern for you? And can you see Podkolzin finding himself at the bottom end of the top 10?
It's a potential as a winger. Like we've been talking about, is that the focus has been on getting pivots and getting defenders. And so a guy like Podkolzin or Boldy, you know, they could be there at 8 and 9 sort of thing. And I think that's reasonable too, because there are a whole bunch of great centers in this crop. But for Podkolzin, I think he's a bit of his numbers are a product of circumstance. So he's played in multiple leagues. So he played in the junior league. He's played in the second tier. He's played a little bit in the KHL. He's gone to the World Juniors. He's gone to the World Junior A Challenge, the U19 tournament there. He's been all over the map, and he hasn't really got settled in one space. Now he has been playing in the VHL for a little bit, And the VHL is a good league. I would argue that it's probably above the Allsvenskan, which is the second tier in Sweden. It's a difficult league to play in. As we know, Russia, they prefer to play their older players and go for wins. And so Podkolzin, he plays up the lineup a little bit. He gets kind of middle six opportunities. He scored a nice playoff goal there a couple of days ago. I think that, it's easy to look at his stats and think that, that's not very impressive. And you wouldn't be wrong, but when you do sit down and watch him, especially, at the Ivan Hlinka, he was amazing. At that World Junior A Challenge, he was the best player. Him and Bobby Brink, were head and shoulders sort of thing. He's very, very good. And I also love the tenacity that he has. So he's not a perimeter player by any means. He's a right winger who will play all over the ice, but he'll also, drive a defender through the boards. He'll throw hands at times too, and he also has that skill to put up a lot of points too. So he's a really interesting player, but the fact that he does play on the wing and he does have those muted stats and that he is Russian, unfortunately, there is whispers that he wants to go straight from the KHL to the NHL, and that could be, two, maybe 3 years away. That adds to the risk factor. He's going to be a divisive prospect on draft day, and it'll be fun to see where he goes.
Talking NHL draft prospects with Cam Robinson, managing editor over at Dauber Prospects and the associate editor of Dauber Hockey at Sportsnet 650. And, Cam, next Friday, our listeners and fans of the Giants, they'll get to go down to the LEC on Friday the 15th when the Kelowna Rockets are in town. They got a couple of prospects that we do anticipate should go in the first round. If we're talking about defensemen still, Lassie Thompson, exceptional skating ability. He's got a powerful shot on that back end. Both things that I think Canucks fans would love to add in their own blue line when you think of Quinn Hughes on the way too. Where does Lassie Thompson fill in into the first round for you?
Yeah, so he's kind of a borderline first-rounder for my money. A little bit older for this crop, and by a little bit, he's only about a week away from being eligible for last year, so he is old for this crop. But he, like you said, he's immobile. He's a right-shot player, smooth, kind of confident. Not the biggest guy, but he doesn't shy away from engaging in physicality sort of thing. Really nice compete level, so, he doesn't lose too many puck battles in the corner. I really like how much he's improved over the last, year and a half. 2 years even, is that he's turned a lot of his weaknesses into strength, and that's a really nice sign. He's added a bit of a shot. He's more confident with his puck skills and kind of holding on to it, and that could be, the part and parcel of being a little bit older for this draft class too, and so he's a little more comfortable in the WHL despite being a first-year player there, is that I think he's one of these guys that if the Canucks do decide to go a winger or a pivot with their first-round pick, Thompson's a guy who could be sitting there in the early second round, right where they're picking, and would be a nice grab to fill a right shot D selection, because there aren't a ton in this class, but there's going to be a couple of projects when you're pushing into the 30 to 50 range, and he would be high on that list for me.
Another Rockets prospect, not a defenseman, but the left winger, Nolan Foote. We know that he's got the family connections, big body already. Some would consider that NHL size. Where does he also fall into the first round if he does?
Yeah, I'm a little bit lower on Nolan Foote than most people. I have been from day one. It's a foot speed thing. So he is a big body, 6'3". He's probably pushing 200 pounds at this point. He's a goal scorer. He's got a nice release. He has good instincts on where to get to and how to finish for sure. And he can do that at the WHL level, I beg your pardon. But I do question his ability to get to those spaces at the next level. So his quickness, his acceleration, and his top-end speed are lacking. He's a little bit like Jonah Gadjevich in that regard, is that once he gets moving, the train gets going and it's hard to stop, and then his speed isn't too bad in open ice, but he's not laterally overly quick, and that quickness just from a stop is something that definitely needs to work on. I think he tries to play with good pace, which I like to see, versus some players that don't really even show you that they're playing with pace of play. He's a really divisive one for me too. I have him kind of the tail end of the second round. I put a lot of value in speed, though, so it wouldn't surprise me at all if he goes, late 20s, mid-20s sort of thing, but I think the team taking him is going to have a little bit of a risk there.
Now, Cam, one prospect that I find very intriguing, who still is 17 years old, doesn't turn 18 essentially till the draft day itself, that's Arthur Kaliev, the very talented American winger, plays for Hamilton, who has 50 goals in 63 games so far this season. What do you think of him as a prospect, his production, and what range do you see him going in on this point?
Yeah, his range is wide. So some scouts love him. They have him top 10. So they slide another winger into that top 10 with Podkolzin and Boldy. Other guys don't have him in their first round. I'm kind of playing the middle. So I've had him, in the mid-20s. His production is difficult to deny. He's feasting on the OHL right now. Like you say, he's just about got 100 points. He's got his 50 goals. And draft-eligible players who are under 18 and put up 50 goals in the OHL tend to do well in the NHL. So, but we, getting back to that pace of play that we were talking about with Nolan Foote, is that he doesn't play with much of it. He doesn't play with much urgency. He doesn't really display a lot of compete on some nights, on some shifts, I should say, he does. You can fire him up, you can get him angry, and you can see him getting in there, and he can bang a little bit, and he can dig for pucks. But oftentimes when I check in on him, he's sitting on the perimeter a little bit, waiting for someone to get him the puck, and then he'll rip it. He does have good vision, too, so his offensive skill set is undeniable. He's a player that if you can work with him and you can get him engaged and you know, get that fire in the belly, that he could be a legitimate top-six scoring winger. And that's something that a lot of teams crave for sure. So it wouldn't be overly surprising if he goes in the top half or even the top 10. I think that'd be a slight reach. But, you know, if he's sitting there in the 20s, it wouldn't surprise me either.
Yeah, he's one of those guys. I can just see it, him getting maybe overrated is the wrong word, but somebody being enamored with him and taking him a bit higher than expected. Now, before we let you go, I did want to ask you about Quinn Hughes, who could join the Canucks as soon as next week. And that depends on his Michigan Wolverines beating Minnesota in the playoffs in a best of three. What do you think of Quinn Hughes' season, and what is a realistic type of impact we can expect for him to play those 9-10 games this year?
Yeah, so it will be interesting to see if what they do because of that 10-game limit before they'll have to protect him in expansion, because I don't really expect the Michigan to beat Minnesota twice on the road this weekend. So his season might be done in a couple of days, and then they'll have to kind of play a little finagle to sit him out a couple, because I think they have 13 games maybe left on the schedule after when he comes in. But I think his season's been, I think it's been good considering, because Michigan hasn't been a great team. And then, you know, maybe 6 weeks ago or whatever, they lost Josh Norris, which was their top line center. Obviously played on the top power play, and it was a real focal point with Hughes on that top unit. But, you know, he's been strong. He gets pucks on nets. He sets up teammates all the time, and they aren't finished. I think he's been working on his shot, and you can see that. He's got several kind of rebound assists where he's been getting the puck on net, and then, you know, Will Lockwood or one of these other guys are kind of finishing the rebounds or getting tips in front. The mobility thing is what we always talk about, is that this kid can skate for days. He loves to hold on to the puck in the offensive end. And I'm not sure if he's going to step into the lineup and Travis Green is going to say, here you go, kid, get to play on the top unit. Let's see what you can do. You know, take the training wheels right off. That would be lovely to see and just kind of give him a glimpse of what the NHL looks like. I like that at the World Championships last year when he was playing for the Americans as an 18-year-old, he was afforded kind of that opportunity to play the power play and to use his speed and his skating and his instincts to drive some offense, and that was neat to see in a professional setting. And now hopefully we get to see that again in the NHL. If it doesn't happen this year down the stretch, you know, that's okay. Hopefully they at least give him a look on that top unit. But I think next year it really shouldn't be a question, because Alex Edler, you know, as great as he's been for this organization, he doesn't have the shot and he doesn't really have the foot speed anymore to walk the line and create kind of that opening to get pucks through, where Hughes is just going to change everything. And we've seen this power play just be so stagnant for so long in Vancouver. It's just sad to see right now. We all were drooling with the possibility of having Pettersson and Besser on opposite wings just teeing off. And hopefully when Quinn comes and he gets that chance, he'll be the guy, because he can definitely set up a guy right in the wheelhouse, and he can move all the defenders around and open up those lanes. That's going to be so important to letting PD and Besser kind of let him rip.
Well, it can't get much worse, so hopefully he'll help out as much as possible. He is Cam Robinson. Follow him on Twitter, @hockey_Robinson, managing editor of Dobbers Hockey, and also associate editor of Dobbers Hockey, Canucks senior writer, scout. Now, my friend, always a pleasure chatting with you. Look forward to talking again very soon. The draft is nearing, and keep up the good work, buddy.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on, fellas.